Hello, and welcome to the latest episode of the ERP Strategies and Solutions podcast series. In this series, we'll join ERP specialists, business owners, industry insiders, and others to explore the business benefits of ERP. Now, here's your host, Chris Carroll.
Hello, everybody. Chris Carroll here. Thanks for joining us, and welcome to another edition of ERP Strategies and Solutions. Today's program will consist of two interviews that'll be really informative. In the first interview, we'll talk with our friend Eric Kimberling, president and founder of Panorama Consulting Group. Eric has been kind enough to join us once again to discuss Panorama's 2010 ERP report, which was just published earlier this month. Also, we went back into the archives a little bit and pulled out one of our best interviews, one of our most informative and insightful discussions with someone who actually implements ERP and did so recently. John Gibson is the president of a mid-sized organization, and he's going to share some of his insights with us about his ERP implementation experience. Well, we've got Eric Kimberling on the line, so let's get started with our first interview today. Eric, thanks again for spending some time with us here at ERP Strategies and Solutions.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks for having me.
Well, first of all, Eric, what can you tell me about the report?
Well, Chris, we continued our study that we began in 2005 of ERP implementations across the globe. And during this four-year study, which we just wrapped up in December of 2009, we expanded our sample size to 1,600 ERP implementations across the globe. And in addition to some of the metrics we looked at last time we published our report, which include things like ERP implementation duration, cost, business benefits realized, etc., we also looked at some additional metrics that we hadn't looked at in the past, such as comparing software as a service to on-premise ERP, as well as some of the organizational change management aspects of ERP implementations. So in essence, what we did is we took a quantitative and a qualitative view of 1,600 ERP implementations across the globe and some of the actual results that some of these organizations achieved.
Okay. And what were some of the key findings in the report?
Well, some of the findings we found were actually encouraging. The last time we published our report, when we looked at ERP implementation duration time, on average was close to 20 months last time we published the report. This time in 2010, with the new data we have, the average is down to 18.4 months for the average implementation duration. And that includes companies of all sizes and all different types of industries. So that is merely an average. And if you do more of a deep dive, which we do in some of our other research, you can see some of the differences between companies of different sizes and different industries. In addition to looking at the implementation duration, we also looked at implementation cost. And as we found here as well with that metric, that number is down to $6.2 million on average for the total cost of ownership for the average organization. And that is down from over $9 million the last time we published this report. The other metric we looked at is the implementation cost as a percentage of revenue. So we kind of normalize the implementation budgets for organizations to look at differences between company sizes. And we found that number is down from 9% of company revenue on average down to 6.9% here in 2010. So certainly some encouraging numbers here in the implementation cost and budget. Now, the downside is that the number of implementations that exceed their budgets are still high at 54%. And when we look at companies and their actual benefits realized, we found that 41% failed to realize at least 50% of their expected business benefits, and 40% found an operational disruption at go live. So some of those numbers are actually up over last time. So what we're finding is that companies, although in current economic times they are tightening their belts a bit, cutting their budgets and cutting their implementation durations, what we're finding is the actual results companies are actually declining as well.
I see. Well, Eric, it sounds encouraging, really, that ERP implementation timeframes and budgets are on the decline, right? On the other side, do you have any explanations for why business benefits realized is also declining?
Well, that's a really good question, Chris, and that's something that we looked at carefully in this study, because when we first started analyzing the data, we were very encouraged by some of those numbers that were on the decline, as we talked about implementation cost, implementation duration. But then as we dug and saw that the actual business benefits realized were actually declining as well, what we found in some of our quantitative data, as well as some of the qualitative research we did in these organizations, is found that what happened is that a lot of companies were tightening their budgets and cutting key project activities as part of their implementations. So companies were cutting things like organizational change management. They were skimping on training. They weren't spending enough time clearly defining their business processes and workflows up front. So that was one thing that happened, or one trend that contributed to the decline in business benefits realized, is companies weren't investing time and money in activities that were going to actually make them successful in their initiatives. Now, the second thing that's contributing to business benefits declining is that many companies are implementing software as a service offerings with the expectation that with a very limited budget and a very limited implementation time frame, they're going to achieve the same level of business benefits as they might with on-premise ERP. Now, while part of that equation is true, what we found is that companies, even with software as a service implementations, were skimping on some of the key implementation activities that were required for their initiatives.
Okay, I see. Now, your study also features some interesting findings about software as a service versus on-premise ERP. So can you tell us a bit more about that?
Well, what we found, Chris, is that some of our data actually supports some of the hype and attention that software as a service solutions are seeing right now in the marketplace. For example, the average implementation for on-premise ERP, as we talked about before, was right around 18 months. For software as a service or hosted solutions, it was just under 12 months for the average implementation time. Now, when we look at total cost of ownership as a percentage of sales, software as a service and hosted solutions, again, were a bit lower. So on-premise solutions were right around 7% as a percentage of sales, while software as a service were closer to 6%. So there certainly is a somewhat of a material difference there in terms of companies implementing software as a service in less time and less cost up front. Now, what I will say, though, is that although the initial investment and budget is lower up front for software as a service, some of those ongoing costs are actually higher. So if you look at the kind of a 5 or 7 year horizon in the study, what you actually find is that software as a service ends up being more expensive, even when you account for the fact that oftentimes companies are outsourcing their IT, they're not having to build the same infrastructure. But even when you account for those savings, the software as a service solutions are more expensive in the longer term because of that higher ongoing annual fee. Some of the additional findings, though, kind of on the flip side of software as a service, or some of the benefits of software as a service, is that even though companies are implementing in less time and less cost, they're realizing less benefits. And this is actually the most striking number, I think, in the study when we compare software as a service to other types of solutions. What we found is that level of companies that realize at least 50% of the business benefits they expect are right around 43% for on-premise solutions, but close, just under half that, or just over half that, for software as a service, right at 23%. So again, you're about twice as likely to realize at least half of the business benefits you expect from on-premise than you are from software as a service and on-demand solutions. Part of that is because there is a bit less flexibility for software as a service. That's one part of it. The other thing we found, again, is that companies are more likely to underestimate their budgets and underestimate the time required to implement for software as a service, which is demonstrated by another metric, which when we looked at the companies that implement within budget, 41% of on-premise solutions were able to implement on or below budget, but only 29.4% of software as a service solutions were. So as with any ERP solution, there are trade-offs with software as a service. There's strengths and weaknesses, and that was certainly underscored in our study.
And any other conclusions from the study?
Well, Chris, there were several other conclusions we found. Probably the most interesting one that we haven't already discussed, at least at a high level, is the role that organizational change management plays on effective ERP implementations. We did a little bit of a deep dive and looked at, you know, given the economic turbulence that a lot of companies were experiencing in 2009, what was kind of the level of change that they were grappling with in addition to their ERP implementations. And what we found was pretty interesting. We found that over 40% of the organizations in our study were dealing with either a new CEO or new locations, new office locations. About one in four were dealing with a merger acquisition. One in five were dealing with layoffs. So there were a number of changes that these companies are going through while at the same time trying to implement ERP, which certainly makes the ERP implementation more challenging and certainly elevates the level of risk. And what we found at the same time is that over half of the organizations self-rated their abilities to manage these changes as poor. They also, just under half, self-rated their abilities to communicate with one another within the organization, within different departments, as poor as well. So you take these two things, the fact that companies are changing a huge amount and dealing with a huge level of uncertainty while trying to implement ERP, but also while being somewhat straddled with poor communications and poor abilities to manage change, and suddenly you have kind of an organizational change management challenge you've got to deal with. So that was a big part of what we found, is that organizational change management really was a key differentiator between the companies that were able to overcome some of these challenges and implement ERP successfully versus the ones that were troubled or failed.
All right. Very interesting. Eric, thanks again for joining us here. We sure do appreciate your time, and we always appreciate the information you share with our listeners.
Thanks, Chris.
Coming right back with John Gibson on ERP Strategies and Solutions.
Not sure which direction to go with your ERP initiative? Having trouble getting your ERP implementation completed on time without compromising tangible benefits? Panorama Consulting Group is an independent ERP consulting firm focused on ERP software selection, implementation, and organizational change management. So whether you're about to select your ERP software, need help with implementation, or need to get more out of your existing ERP software, Panorama can help your organization reduce its ERP cost and risk while optimizing business benefits. In fact, compared to the average organization, Panorama's clients implement their ERP solutions at less than 50% of the cost and in 10% less time. Some of Panorama's clients include Samsonite, Kodak, Coldwater Creek, Maxon Lift, and Ashcroft Incorporated. Call us at 303-256-6253. That's 303-256-6253. Or visit us on the web at www.panorama-consulting.com.
This is ERP Strategies and Solutions. Thanks for joining us. Now it's time to talk to our friend John Gibson. John is the president of Swingle Tree and Lawn Care in Denver, Colorado. What you're about to hear is part one of an interview I did with John right after he implemented an ERP solution. This is some great stuff from the archives, and it gives us a really good first-person account of the challenges, pitfalls, and opportunities to implement ERP successfully. Now, here's John.
Hi, Chris. It's great to be here today, and I look forward to the conversations.
First of all, John, tell us a little bit about Swingle.
Well, Swingle Lawn Tree and Landscape Care is a business that's been around since 1947 in the Denver area, and we now service the Front Range in Colorado from the Denver to the Fort Collins area. We have 230 employees at our peak. We run 140 trucks. We have nine divisions spread out over three locations. And we make about 120,000 stops a year between all of our different divisions, and that's coordinated by about 75 users of our ERP package.
Okay, and can you tell us, John, a little bit more about your role at the company?
My current role with Swingle is the president of the company. At the time we were going through the selection and implementation process, I was the director of operations.
Well, John, can you tell us, why did Swingle decide to choose a new ERP system?
Well, we had been for years developing our own homegrown software, and we called it our legacy system, and we actually called it Swingleware. And we had recognized that we had come to the end of its useful life, and if we wanted to do any leapfrog type technology using handhelds or anything like that, that we were going to have to move up to a higher and more efficient ERP package. And we also had kind of dysfunctional pieces that weren't all together, and we had a lot of what we call bolted on parts to our package. So searching for a new ERP system was going to help us be more efficient and in the long run help us grow our business.
Why did you choose Panorama to help you with your evaluation and selection process?
Well, we started out doing a little bit of evaluation on our own, and we recognized that our knowledge of systems that were available was pretty small. And so we started looking for a partner to help us go find a new package. And the first group of folks we ran into were very software-specific or vendor-specific, and that led us to try and search out somebody who wasn't going to push us towards ultimately their end product that they were representing. And Panorama came across as very non-software specific and non-vendor specific, and that made them our number one choice.
Okay. And what were the major steps that you took to evaluate potential ERP solutions?
Well, the first thing that happened was as we came in and actually documented what we had been doing. In our legacy systems, we had a lot of what we called tribal knowledge. A lot of people knew how to run it, but nobody had written it down. So we had to do a little bit of documentation to help us understand what we were doing. And then we put together this list of requirements and kind of a wish list of, wow, if we could do anything, what would it do? And forced ourselves and Panorama to help force us to say, you know, don't look at it 5 years from now, look at it 10 years from now or 15 years from now. What do you think you might need? That helped us put a list together. We were able to prioritize that list and really determine what the critical ones were off of that list as we went out and looked for a new ERP solution. We then casted kind of this really big net to try and grab as many potential packages as possible and not limit ourselves by what we thought we knew about them, whether they were going to be too big or too small. Did an evaluation of the group, narrowed the group down, and eliminated it down to some more likely choices. When we finally got down to three specific software packages that we were looking at, we did a demonstration with each one of those three, and then we negotiated with the top two that we had a little bit to try and determine where we might end up, and ultimately made one final purchasing decision with the package that we went with.
Well, it sounds like you considered several options during your evaluation process. What type of ERP package did you choose after you completed the selection process?
We ended up choosing a package that was built off of a base finance package, but ultimately was a CRM package. We did do some linkage to a finance package with the CRM package we chose, but we found this core package also had our routing that we needed and a lot of the other features that we needed for running our business in the multiple divisions that we run.
What were the main deciding factors in helping you choose the right ERP solution?
Well, the key one was is that we had to hit all of the critical requirements that we had defined. We may not have hit everything on our wish list, but we wanted to hit all the critical ones, and that we did a great job with. We had to find something that was within our budget. There were many packages out there that could have done everything we wanted them to, but they were just far outside of the scope of what we wanted to spend for our business or could afford to spend for our business. And then ultimately, we wanted to choose somebody who we could trust as a business partner going forward. Having been a company with a legacy software package, we had this sole dependency on one person who had written the package, and that was scary for us. So we wanted to find a partner that was going to be around for a long time, that had all the resources for us to help us feel like we could grow double, triple, quadruple our business if that was our choice, and not have to go out and find a new package to get that done.
And how did you negotiate with the software vendor?
Well, we had a great recommendation from Panorama when they came in to work with us, and we got down to the final negotiations with the last candidate, where we used Panorama almost as the bad guy. They came in and did the really hard negotiations with us to try and establish a position for us to get what we needed in the negotiations, but also protect us from this future relationship problem we could have. If we didn't get along with our chosen partner after the negotiations, we weren't going to be in a good spot. They did a great job playing the bad guy until we got right down to the final end where we had some one-on-one negotiations directly to close the deal. But it put us in an incredible spot to start as partners going forward and not in a bad spot that I think we would have been in if I did the negotiations directly with the vendor.
Okay. And how long did your ERP evaluation and selection process take from start to finish?
Well, being that we had business to run at the same time, we didn't drop everything and just run this the whole selection process. So we had to work around a little bit of the operational things that are going on in servicing our clients. So we took our time. It took us 9 months from the day that we really started and said, okay, we're ready to kick it off with Panorama and get going to the date that we finally did our purchase. And on a seasonal business that we have, that was a reasonable time frame for us to be working off of.
Tell us what your biggest challenges were during the selection process.
I think really trying to, maybe for me and for managing the team, was trying to get operations, finance, the customer service group, and the sales team all to agree upon the priority ranking of what's critical in our business. What was critical for one division was not critical for another division, and trying to get everybody on the same page to say, if we can get this, is that more important than what you need? And that was probably the biggest challenge, I think, of the selection process, was right to the beginning of defining what was critical.
Okay. And what advice would you, John, give to someone that is considering a new ERP system?
I think I would tell people, set realistic expectations. Understand that, you know, it's work. It's a lot of work to get a new ERP system selected and to get the training done and to get people up to speed and to manage the change within the business. Understand your budget and understand that the likelihood that you might go over your budget, and in most cases, I think you will go over your budget. And determine, you know, what the return on investment is going to be when you're actually, you know, sitting down to decide, hey, what's this worth to our business and how much can we spend? I don't think we understood really how much opportunity there was to improve our business until we started really defining the return on the investment and went, wow, you know, we're really missing a lot in our current systems. It's almost painful to realize what we might have been missing during that, the last 10 years we've been using our old system.
Thanks, John. That was some great information for our listeners, and we sure do appreciate you being here.
Well, thanks, Chris. I enjoyed being here, and if you can tell, I'm passionate about the whole process and really hope that people feel the same way as they go through it in their business.
Well, that's all the time we have for today's edition of ERP Strategies and Solutions. I'm Chris Carroll. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And remember, if you'd like more information about Panorama's 2010 ERP report that Eric Kimberling discussed in the first portion of our program, be sure to visit their website at www.panorama-consulting.com. Have a great day, everybody.
Register for our free weekly ERP webcast series, download white papers, or read our ERP research on our website. Call us at 303-256-6253. Email us at info@panorama-consulting.com or visit us on the web at panorama-consulting.com. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast series for more ERP strategies and solutions.